tells the majority leader, the minority leader, that I want to hold this bill, and they do it. And then you have to go through the whole 60-vote filibuster, blah, 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 from one senator. That's ridiculous. There shouldn't be secret holds. If you want to hold up a whole bill, you need to put your name on it. That's what democracy is all about. You believe in something, then defend it. This would end that practice. This would have severe restrictions on lobbying and severe restrictions on earmarks. Now, I want you to think about this, because Republicans continue with this amazing rhetoric, which is exactly 180 degrees opposite of the truth. Republicans claim, in all elections that I've heard of, that Democrats are the tax and spenders, and that Democrats they believe in judicial activism. They say, we are the strict constructionists, and we believe in fiscal conservatives. Well, that's bull malarkey. On those two things, fiscal conservatism, let's talk about that one first. The Democrats are the fiscal conservatives. They support something called pay-as-you-go, and if you don't know what that is, you should. Pay-as-you-go is a very simple process. It says that if you got a program in Congress, you got to pay for it. In other words, you can't just expand children's health care, as much as that's a great idea. You have to say how to pay for it. They're going to pay for it with a tobacco tax and decreasing Medicare subsidies to HMOs. Okay, fine. They gave you a program, and they told you how they're going to pay for it. They're not going to increase the deficit. That, my friends, is the definition of fiscal conservative. They're not going to raise the debt on our children, our grandchildren. Republicans believe in just the opposite. Republicans tell you they don't believe in taxes. That's not true at all. They believe in massive taxes, but the taxes have to go to future generations. They believe that kids who are 15, 14, 16 years old, kids who can't vote today, should pay twice the amount of taxes that we pay. Because they should, or three times even, because they have to pay for their government, they have to pay for our government, and they have to pay interest on the national debt. They believe in heavy taxes. So when I go around, I talk to young people, I say, do you want your taxes tripled? Vote for a Republican. Because they're the big taxers, my friends. Because debt doesn't just go away. It's not just a line item. Anyone that's ever had a credit card run out of control knows that the piece of plastic isn't truly free. And Democrats are the fiscal conservatives. Now, they're going to go in 08. They're going to call Democrats tax and spend people. But Democrats say where their funding's coming from, and that's fundamentally honest. And Republicans are fundamentally dishonest. The same is true, of course, with judicial activism versus strict constructionism. What do all those words mean? Well, Republicans will tell you that they are the strict constructionists. They follow the Constitution. They follow the original intent of the founders, and it's Democrats that believe in legislating from the bench. I mean, you can hear the spin just flow, right? You've heard all these phrases. And yet we now know that when the right controls the court, that the judges that told the Judiciary Committee of the Senate, oh, we are strict constructionists, we believe in following the Constitution, you know, we believe in being modest. Chief Justice John Roberts likened his position to the umpire in a baseball game. We're not a player, we're simply the umpire. Well, that got thrown out the window as soon as they got into power, right? Brown versus Board of Education, the opinion that every American school child knows, the opinion that more of us know than any other Supreme Court opinion, 1954, ended segregation, thrown out the window. Oh, he's not honest enough to say he overruled it. No, he says, we're not changing it, we're just allowing the segregationists to win. In other words, if you know, there's a 99% white school in Alabama, and they're keeping blacks out not based on their race, but based on the fact that they live across the railroad tracks in the black area of town, that's okay. That's not racist. Look the other way. The judicial activists have and have always been the conservatives. And in fact, there's statistics to show that more cases are overturned, they overturn congressional will, that the right-wing judges do it the most, Scalia and Thomas and so forth, and that Breyer and Ginsburg do it the least because they respect democracy. But part of respecting democracy is knowing its limits. And one of the limits is the Fourth Amendment, which says you cannot wiretap someone. You can't search someone. You can't go through their person's papers and personal effects without a warrant. And a warrant has to be approved by a judge. It has to specifically describe the thing searched for. Now we know, at the end of all the the Gonzalez proceedings, I shouldn't say that because they're not at an end, but we know from the pushing Gonzalez hard that he finally had to admit that the president who said, I'm just wiretapping foreigners, remember when he said that? It wasn't true. They are tapping all of us. They are keeping files on all of us. 200 million files out of 300 million Americans sounds about right. Maybe more. Every one of us, I'm sure there's a file on me. Name, social security number, political opinions. They are doing to Americans what East Germany used to do to their citizens, what the Soviet Union used to do to their citizens. And the irony is the Republicans claim that they were against the Soviet Union. But we're becoming the Soviet Union. And one of the really good things out of the push on Gonzalez, only by threatening him with a perjury prosecution did Gonzalez come out and say, well, there are other secret things that the administration is doing that we just haven't told you about, including spying on all the Americans. So now there's a subpoena to Karl Rove, and George Bush says, I'm not going to let him talk either. Nah, I don't want Karl Rove to talk. I don't want you to hear how much of my administration is caused by Karl Rove. So that's okay. Let's hold Karl Rove in contempt. There's no one I'd rather see in jail than Karl Rove. And if the president pardons him, then maybe finally we can impeach the president of the United States. But we're already starting to impeach Gonzalez. I've always argued Gonzalez first, Cheney second, Bush third. And Jay Inslee, Democrat of Washington State, has introduced the bill to impeach Attorney General Gonzalez. And even Nancy, impeachment is off the table, Pelosi is starting to take that seriously. As she said recently, she said, look, I understand where Jay Inslee is coming from. If I were not the leader of the House, I would probably do that as well. So let's keep up the pressure. Let's keep up the hearings. Let's try to appoint a special prosecutor. And eventually, the sentiment will be so overwhelming that Nancy Pelosi will count the votes. And once the votes are there, we can begin to impeach Gonzalez and bring America home. That's it for the Inside Scoop. I hope you enjoyed both halves of this hour. I know I did. If you have a comment on anything I've said, agree or disagree, post it at RadioInsideScoop.com. For now, this is Mark Levine, signing off.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. Top White House aide Karl Rove announced he will resign within 2 weeks. President Bush has scheduled a press conference for later today. In Afghanistan, the Taliban has freed 2 ailing female hostages. South Korean and Taliban negotiators continue today. Both sides say they hope talks will lead to the release of the remaining 19 volunteers kidnapped nearly a month ago. Iraq's leading Sunni politician is urging Arab nations to intervene in what he calls a genocide campaign by Iran-sponsored Shia. He claims that not only have the Shia taken over Baghdad, they're threatening other Arab countries in the region. 5 U.S. soldiers were killed south of Baghdad Saturday in a gun battle with Shia militia. 4 other U.S. troops were wounded. The Bush administration's war advisor told reporters it may be time to consider reinstituting the military draft. Army Lieutenant General Douglas Lute said wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have stretched the all-volunteer army thin. The draft was abolished in 1973. In Minneapolis, officials say they've selected a preliminary design to replace the bridge that collapsed into the Mississippi River earlier this month. The body of another victim was found in the wreckage Sunday. Former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson has dropped out of the Republican presidential primary. The Bush administration's former Secretary of Health and Human Services finished sixth in the Iowa straw poll. In Louisiana, the only people accused of causing deaths during Hurricane Katrina go on trial today. The owners of a nursing home in which 35 elderly residents died are charged with negligent homicide. The couple allegedly refused to evacuate their patients when ordered to do so. In Miami, closing arguments began today in the terrorism trial of Jose Padilla and two co-defendants. The judges ruled the jury cannot consider whether the men's actions were justifiable under Islamic law. Game show host and entertainer Merv Griffin died yesterday in L.A. of prostate cancer. He was 82. Gold is trading at $681.20 an ounce. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business Next.
Not that long ago, three bears were discussing how difficult it is to get a good night's sleep. What you sleep on is paramount to any sleep success. Papa Bear complained about how he was tired after tossing and turning all night. Mama Bear complained about sinking into each other like sleeping in a hammock.
You can't even turn the mattress over to use the other side.
Then Zizi the Panda told them about his perfect night's sleep on his Monterey mattress. It has much higher quality padding to prevent the hammock syndrome and has two great sides for twice the mattress life.
You know, panda bears are really smart. Hi, this is Brian Gingrich. At Monterey Mattress, our family has been building the finest latex, foam, and innerspring mattresses for over 20 years. We supply most of the leading resorts on the Monterey Peninsula. With such high standards of quality, customers purchase their mattresses here at factory prices and then ship to their homes across the nation. Discover the difference a Monterey Mattress can make in your life. Come see us at our factory showroom in Sand City or online at montereymattress.com.
Scientists have discovered a single genetic mutation that intensifies the virulence of the West Nile virus. The mosquito-borne illness threatens to become a national epidemic this summer. A 38-year-old British woman left yesterday from the California coast in an attempt to become the first woman to cross the Pacific solo in a rowboat. Ralph Savage says the trip in her 20-foot vessel is designed to bring worldwide attention to ocean pollution. Beijing says the manager of the Chinese company at the heart of this month's Mattel toy recall has committed suicide. The nation's largest toy company recalled nearly a million plastic toys contaminated by lead paint. Today, the European Central Bank again injected billions into the financial markets as the ripple effect of problems in the U.S. home loan industry continue to be felt worldwide. The EC bank infused an additional $65 billion. McDonald's will sell its Boston market chain to private equity firm Sun Capital Partners. The term of the sale has not been released. Light sweet crude is trading at $72.43 a barrel. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 83 points, NASDAQ up 25, S&P 500 up 11. There's more at our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Well, hello, and how are you? I'm Christine Kraft, and you are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM, Talk City. And you are also listening in several cities other than Sacramento the rest of this week and all next week as my friend and colleague Peter B. Collins takes a much-deserved hiatus. He'll tell you all about it when he gets back, I believe, on the 13th of August. In any event, we are on several stations other than KSAC here in Sacramento, the progressive talk station here in California's capital. Also on KRXA 540 AM in Monterey, on KGOE in Eureka, KBBR in Coos Bay, Oregon, and KPOJ in Portland, Oregon. And we're delighted to welcome all of you. Now, my first guest, he didn't answer the phone. Okay, well, he's back in D.C. someplace, and we're trying to get through to him. And so we will see if we can get through to him eventually. Center for American Progress. And we will talk with them when we were able to get through. That is to Faiz Shakir, who's got a lot to say about the New York Times piece earlier this week in which two reporters said, oh, yeah, we can really win in Iraq. And you've heard Randy Rhodes talking about that if you're listening to KSAC and some of these other stations. But we'll try to get with him a little bit later. We're having some connection issues with that. I want to ask you about this. I want to tell you, first of all, we've got some guests today. And every day between now and, well, the end of this month, however long it takes, there's a trial going on in federal district court here in Sacramento. It is of a physician, Dr. Molly Fry, and her husband, lawyer Dale Schaefer. And they have been charged with manufacturing marijuana to give to their very sick, her very sick patients. She's a cancer survivor. You may have heard her yesterday on this program. They had jury selection yesterday. And today we are hoping that circumstances permitting that Tony Serra, J. Tony Serra, their lawyer will be, or Molly's lawyer will be in with us probably in the last half of the 5 o'clock hour, 5:30-ish. Okay, so that will be good. At 5 o'clock, Mark Maron's going to be here. If you're in Sacramento, you probably know who Mark Maron is. He's a well-known civil rights lawyer, and he's got a case that's written about extensively in today's Sacramento Bee newspaper. If you want to read the story, it's www.sacbee.com. And he's decided to take up the plight of, well, the homeless people. That's right. He's trying to get a class action case certified here. But he's representing some homeless people because there's this pattern and practice here in Sacramento, particularly around the time the Boobin Grabber was inaugurated. That's the current governor of California. Oh, yes, the sheriff's department, other law enforcement go down along the river and roust all the homeless people. And they don't just say, get out, move on, nothing to see here. No, they take their belongings. They take their sleeping bags, their blankets, their possessions, their prescriptions, their eyeglasses, all kinds of things. And boom, that's it. You can't get them back. It's gone. It's done. And some city leaders and mothers are saying, oh, I'm just shocked that that goes on. Well, it's been going on for years. Wake up and smell the truth here. So we're delighted that Mark Maron has taken up the cause of the homeless. It's a Fourth Amendment, a constitutional issue. Just because you don't have a house, aren't you entitled to have to be secure in some of your own with some of your own possessions? Shouldn't you be able to hang on to your prescription medicine if you're a homeless person? I think so. Shouldn't you be able to hang on to your sleeping bag or your blanket or your pillow or your little tent that you have? Yeah, you ought to be able to. What is this anyway, the Soviet Union? What is this, the Ukraine? This is the USA. So Mark Maron will be in with us today in the 5 o'clock hour, and he's going to bring with him one of his clients in this case representing the homeless. And if I have to hear one more time about, oh, why would we want John Edwards for president? He's a lawyer. We got too many trial lawyers, you know, running around chasing ambulances, and that's the last thing we need. Well, John Edwards, much like Mark Maron, very often has represented people who had no means to pay him. Right. We'll be delighted to welcome Mark Maron onto this program this afternoon in the 5 o'clock hour. We're also going to talk to Peter B. Collins, military expert Scott Dick. He will be talking to us from the Monterey Peninsula in the 4 o'clock hour. And we'll try once again to reach our colleague at the Center for American Progress and see. We're having some phone problems. We can't seem to reach him. We will try to do that. We always try. All right. While we're trying to do that, let's talk about something else. What do you think about this? And Jason, please, Jason is my ace producer. Would you give them another call? Thank you. John Edwards today, and I think this is a good idea. I agree with John Edwards on this, but I think this is disgusting. John Edwards criticized Hillary Clinton today for taking more than $20,000 in donations from News Corp officials. That's News Corp. That's, of course, you know, the owner of Fox News. This is Rupert Murdoch arguing, said John Edwards, that the company's Fox News channel has a right-wing bias and the Democrats should avoid the company. I agree. You know what, Hillary? You don't need that extra $20,000 that much. Give it back to Rupert. You know, give it back to Rupert, if you would. So I think he's right. Edwards has led the Democratic candidates so far, the boycott of Fox's plans to host Democratic presidential debates. No. Why would you go someplace where they know, where you know they hate you and are targeting you and aren't going to print or write or broadcast any truth about you? He's absolutely right, John Edwards, when he says, just say no. And Hillary ought to take, she won't do it because it's her rival that's making this question, but she ought to say, you know, I've thought long and hard about this, and, you know, she would go a long distance and say, you know, John Edwards is right, give it back. People say, wow, she just acknowledged another candidate was right about something. Wow, she's the kind of person who can mend fences and, you know, build things. Good for her. But that probably won't happen. Edwards said, the time has come for Democrats to stop pretending to be friends with the very people who demonize the Democratic Party. He challenged his rivals to refuse contributions from executives of News Corp and to return any they had already received. The Edwards campaign sent out emails to supporters with the subject line unfair and unbalanced, asking them to donate in support of his stand against the company. His spokesman, Eric Schultz, said thousands of good people work at Fox News and News Corp. But this is about the bias of top executives, can you say, Rupert Murdoch? Those who make real editorial decisions like Rupert Murdoch, people who continually sanction unfounded attacks on Democrats. And that's why Democrats like Senator Clinton should either reject their money or return it. What do you think? Is John Edwards right about this? And if you want to weigh in, our phone number here in Sacramento is 766-1240, 766-1240. Our toll-free number is 877-766-1240, 877-766-1240. So if you are on the fabulous Monterey Peninsula or in Eureka, Coos Bay, or Portland, that's the number you call in on, 877, toll-free, 877-766-1240, 766-1240. Is John Edwards right to take on Hillary Clinton's acceptance of $20,000 and God knows what else from Rupert Murdoch, who's just purchased the Wall Street Journal? There goes another American paper down the tubes. You might as well just forget about it. Or as has been said in the past, Abby Hoffman used to say, steal this book. He was referring to his own book, which I always thought was quite funny. But, you know, I'm certainly not going to suggest that you steal the Wall Street Journal. Not at all. Let's talk to Jen in Sacramento on line one. Hey, Jen, you're on Talk City. Hi.
Hi, Christine.
Hey, you.
Hey, I wanted to share some information with you. It's regarding the sheriff and going down to the river. They don't even give those people a notice. What they do is very early in the morning or very late in the night, they go and they do raids. And so the people, they don't really know. They're startled, and so they just jump up and scatter.
Right.
And then they take it, and it's so disgusting to treat people as if they're not human beings. And I wanted to share that because a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, they probably have warnings and all this other stuff.
No, they don't give them any warnings. No, and it's hideous. It is akin, and what cracks me up is that we'll have a law enforcement officer who dies tragically, like the CHP officer who was killed the other day, and that's very sad. But there'll be all sorts of tributes to him and how, you know, God watches over law enforcement and God this and God this, and they'll have their chaplains. And yet those same people can turn a blind eye and go down and raid the homeless camps and take their animals away, kill their animals, haul the animals off. Or maybe the only thing that person has is that dog companion. Haul that dog off, and then they can't bail them out, and they'll kill the dog. Take all their possessions, their prescriptions, their eyeglasses, everything they have. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. How dare they claim God in anything that they do?
Exactly. So I just wanted to share that with you because
Jen.
I know firsthand. Okay,
know.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
All right. 766-1240 is our local number, 877-766-1240, if you are calling from out of town. Matt on line two. Hey, Matt, what do you think?
This is a top to a, you know, music.
She tied the breath we drew is hallelujah.
If you're curious about this guy, just go and get the DVD of Live in Chicago. Now, this is the studio version that we're going to play here. The live version is just to behold, but I think it's something that you also have to be able to see, because the band walks off and it's just a man and his guitar. I believe that this is not in a very strange tuning at all, which is kind of unusual for him. But this is a guy that when I listen to him, I just think, you know, we have lost because he died so young. However, we won because we have what he left behind. And it's just some really amazing stuff. So just sit back, relax, close your eyes, and just ride this amazing voice. Leonard Cohen's Alleluia from Jeff Buckley. Roll it, Bob.
It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Well, there was a time. Remember when I moved in you, and the holy dove was moving too, and every breath we drew is hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Maybe there is a God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who I truly am. And it's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
just not magic. I mean, just absolute musical magic. And what a voice. I mean, you just don't, you know, in modern singers, for the most part, I mean, I don't like making blanket statements too often, but you just don't get male voices like that. Especially in so-called popular music, and fine guitar player too. I mean, that's him playing guitar. I mean, it when you do it live, it would just be him, his guitar, through a couple of very nice amps. I mean, the wonderful guitar sounds, you know, and probably one of the most gorgeous lyrics that's ever been composed in the history of music, I think. And it's just genius. But now to show you the other side. But I mean, you can see why, you know, people like Chris Cornell from Soundgarden, you know, just adores Jeff Buckley. at the Wikipedia page, very well written Wikipedia page and very well referenced. And I'm just looking here. They had a list of the now they have a list of people who have written tribute songs for Jeff after he died, and there must be 50 of them here. By many different bands. I mean, there's stuff from P.J. Harvey, the Cocteau Twins, Chris Taylor, Juliana Hatfield, Wave Goodbye is from Chris Cornell, Amy Mann, Kashmir, Live, the song Feel the Quiet River Rage, that's about Jeff Buckley. Just kind of goes on and on and on. And a whole bunch of these songs have been covered by various different people. And, you know, it's here in the Wikipedia, I finally found a spot. It says, Grace won appreciation from a host of revered musicians, including were members of Buckley's biggest influence, Led Zeppelin. Jimmy Page considered Grace close to being his favorite album of the decade. Robert Plant was also complimentary. Other of Buckley's influences lauded him. Bob Dylan named Buckley one of the greatest songwriters of this decade. David Bowie called Grace one of the 10 albums he'd bring with him to a desert island. Lou Reed expressed interest in working with him after seeing him perform. Paul McCartney, Tom York, Matthew Bellamy, Chris Cornell, Neil Peart, U2, and Elton John were among others who have held Buckley's work in high esteem. And, you know, it's amazing stuff. But now we're going to move on to the meatier stuff. Now, I almost played the live version, and the copy of the DVD that I have has not only the live concert in Chicago on DVD, but it also has an album called Mystery White Boy, which was released after his death, and it was some earlier live recordings. And of this particular track, the version that's on Mystery White Boy just doesn't have the punch that the studio version or the live version from the DVD has. When this track that I'm about to play you comes in the concert in the Chicago show, comes in, it seriously knocks you out of your seat into the back wall in your living room. It's just absolutely outstanding. And it just shows you that, you know, and this is where you'll feel that Zeppelin influence come through without being, you know, some cheesy knockoff. But it's definitely there. So without further ado, kick back, get ready to rock out with your out, turn it up to 11. This is off of Grace, Eternal Life. Rock it, Bob.
We'll be right back. Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Peter Godbold here. Strictly Confidential begins June the 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Head On Radio Network. I hope you'll join us for the GLBT version of Conversation Radio, but that's not why I'm here at the moment. Have you noticed that the oppressor's smile is never from the heart? Their smiles seem to originate from some dark, inaccessible place. When they smile, we easily detect the underlying pathos of superiority. Something nasty just under the surface. They hate us because they too can see the source of a smile. Our smiles spring from the understanding that all of us are equal before God, no matter what any preacher says, and that's just unacceptable. They hate us because unconditional love is something they do not have, it's something they will never have, and it's something they try to take from us every day of our lives. That's why I'm here. I wanted to remind you, be you gay, be you straight, or somewhere in between, never let the bastards keep you down.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and I'm glad everybody enjoyed that bit of Mr. Buckley, son of Tim Buckley, who we only ever met once when he was eight, but his first big performance that he ever did, he did as a tribute show to his father, which I think is pretty kind of interesting. He understood where he came from. Okay. I told you I had two bits of silliness, and we had music. Well, we did one bit of silliness at the top of the show. We've done two bits of music, and now we're going to go back to silliness. But this is silliness in a fictional point. and I swear, Bob, we could turn this into a radio bit if I could find someone to do the voice of John Howard, or we rewrite this as about George W. Bush. But this is great. Good friend of the Horn that we don't get to see all that often because he lives down here and the hours are kind of rough when I'm on, but our good friend Fire Ant from Queensland sent this to me, and we believe that this was written by another law student, a fellow law student, and this is hysterical. An important election message, and I'll have to change some terminology here to take some of the Australian stuff out to, and if I say liberal, remember that that's the conservatives here, but anyway, you'll be able to follow this. While on his morning walk, Prime Minister John Howard falls over, has a heart attack, and dies because the accident and emergency ward at his nearest hospital is too understaffed to treat him in time. So his soul arrives in heaven, and he is met by St. Peter at the pearly gates. "Welcome to heaven," says St. Peter. "Before you settle in, it seems there is a problem. We seldom see a conservative around these parts,
so we're not sure what to do with you. No problem, just let me in. I'm a good Christian. I'm a believer, says the Prime Minister. I'd like to just let you in, but I have orders from God himself. He says that since the implementation of his new Heaven Choices policy, you have to spend one day in hell and one day in heaven. Then you must choose where you'll live for eternity. But I've already made up my mind. I want to be in heaven, replies Howard. I'm sorry, but we have our rules, Peter interjects. And with that, St. Peter escorts him to an elevator as he goes down, 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 all the way to hell. The doors open and he finds himself in the middle of a lush golf course. The sun is shining in a cloudless sky. The temperature is a perfect 22 degrees centigrade, you know, about 78 degrees Fahrenheit. In the distance is a beautiful clubhouse. Standing in front of it is Bob Menzies and thousands of other conservative luminaries who had helped him out over the years. Harold Holt, John Gorton, Bill McMahon, etc. The whole conservative party leadership was there, everyone laughing, happy, and casually but expensively dressed. They run to greet him, to hug him, and reminisce about the good times they had, getting rich at the expense of the suckers and peasants. They play a friendly game of golf and then dine on lobster and caviar. The devil himself comes up to Howard with a frosty drink. Have a tequila and relax, John. I can't drink anymore. I took a pledge, says Howard dejectedly. This is hell, son. You can drink and eat all you want and not worry. It just gets better from here. Howard takes the drink and finds himself liking the devil, who he thinks is really a very friendly bloke who tells funny jokes like himself and pulls hilarious nasty pranks, kind of like the ones the conservatives pulled with the goods and services tax and the free trade agreement promises. They're having such a great time that before he realizes it, it's time to go. Everyone gives him a big hug and waves as Howard steps on the elevator and heads upward. When the elevator door opens, he is in heaven again, and St. Peter is waiting for him. Now it's time to visit heaven, the old man says, opening the gate. So for 24 hours, Howard is made to hang out with a bunch of honest, good-natured people who enjoy each other's company, talk about things other than money, and treat each other decently. Not a nasty prank or short-ass joke amongst them. No, no fancy country clubs here. And while the food tastes great, it's not caviar and lobster. And these people are all poor. He doesn't see anybody he knows, and he isn't even treated like someone special. Whoa, he says uncomfortably to himself. Bob Menzies never prepared me for this. The day done, St. Peter returns and says, well, you spent a day in hell and a day in heaven. Now choose where you want to live for eternity. With the deal or no deal theme playing softly in the background, Howard reflects for a minute, then answers, well, I never thought I'd say this. I mean, heaven's been delightful and all, but I really think I belong in hell with my friends. So St. Peter escorts him to the elevator, and he goes down, 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 all the way to hell. The doors of the elevator open. He's in the middle of a barren, scorched earth covered with garbage and toxic industrial wasteland, kind of like the eroded rabbit and fox-affected Australian outback. He is horrified to see all of his friends dressed in rags and chained together, picking up the roadside rubbish and putting it into black plastic bags. They're groaning and moaning in pain, faces and hands black with grime. The devil comes over to Howard and puts an arm around his shoulder. I don't understand, stammers a shocked John. Yesterday I was here and there was a golf course and a clubhouse and we ate lobster and caviar and drank tequila. We lazed around and had a great time. Now there's just a wasteland full of garbage and everybody looks miserable. The devil looks at him, smiles slyly and purrs. Yesterday we were campaigning. Today you voted for us. Ba-dum-psh. I dig that. Anyway. Oh, Johnny, 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 lying sack of crap. anyway, just a bit of stupidity there. And the election here, we're heading up to an election this year, and Johnny Howard's just spending money like it's nobody's business, you know? And he's buying votes left and right. It's going to be really, 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 you know, and in fact, he's won back some points, which is a little scary. You know, I'm afraid that because we've had, you know, 4 days of rain, people are going to go, the drought's over. The drought's over. We don't got to worry. We can go and be selfish and wasteful and all that stuff again. All that good Johnny Howard liberal crap. And remember, liberal here is conservative. But I thought that was just brilliant. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, if I was going to turn that into a radio bit, do I rewrite it for the United States? And if not, first of all, I got to find someone to play John Howard, which I've tried to do and I can't pull off. But I know who I was going to have play St. Peter, and he'd have and oh, but maybe we'll do that. But we'll see what happens. Anyway, folks, I just thought that was great. You gotta love law students. Bob tells me it's been done there as George Bush in the afterlife. Well, fair enough. What did Ozzy Osbourne say? None of us are truly original. We're all thieves. Just some of us are better at it than others. Anyway, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of green stuff laid out. However, airing here just before the show was a documentary from Nova in the States. Something called, like, Saved by the Sun, and it was a documentary on solar power in the United States and worldwide. And it was really well done. It was very, very well done. You know, a couple of the financial talking heads were a bit too right-wingy for my liking, but hey, you know, it was very well rounded. It took into account all points of view. But they were very clear in reminding us that Jimmy Carter really wanted to make solar part of our reality during the 1970s, you know, oil and gas crisis. And how the funding that he set aside, you know, for alternative energy research was rescinded on day one of Ronald Reagan's time in office. And on day one, he had the solar panels removed from the White House that Jimmy Carter had installed there. And to this day, we still have never gotten funding for things like solar and wind energy, even up to the levels that we were paying in the 70s. And that's even shocking. You even think, you know, with inflation and whatnot, you know, we'd at least be matching it. But no, it's absolutely atrocious. And the Germans, geez, you know, the Germans can be very, very smart. And hence why Merkel was so strong with the concept of what they're going to do with the G8 this time around and really, really come up with hard goals. But yet George Bush pouted and stomped his little bratty ass and got his way. Well, the Germans actually have set themselves a goal of having 20% of their energy produced by solar power. And not only are they on track to do that, but they could very well do 30% by 2020. They're so far ahead of the curve. Now, what they've done is actually subsidized it with guaranteed loans. And what do you have? You have farmers that, aside from their pigs and whatever else it is, you have farmers, and they did this with wind power too, are given heavy incentives to install large-scale solar generation plants. You know, so it's like another crop to them. But they're guaranteed a price for the energy that they produce for 20 years, which guarantees their ability to pay back the loans. Now they spoke to they interviewed this one farmer, and I believe that it cost about a couple of million dollars. I mean this guy's producing like a gigawatt. Now, after the initial costs and paying off the loans, he only makes about $60,000 a year actual profit in his pocket for doing this. However, it's building this infrastructure. And even though Germans who already paid some of the highest electricity prices in the world ended up having theirs jacked up by 20%, something like 80% of the population supports the policy because they understand that by continuing to burn all this coal, you're only robbing from your children. And that this is an investment in a cleaner future. And their government showed real leadership, which is something that we haven't had in the United States in a bloody long time. And it just shows what leadership can do. And they had some economist people going, well, it's too early to say whether it'll work. No. It's already working. The German people have come to the realization that this is something that needs to be invested in. And I lived in Germany for a while, and I was really impressed with how clean the place was. And you could see that even, you know, recycling was just completely, you know, it was widespread, it was complete. And not only that, you still have deposit bottles there, which I think is something that really needs to come back, is deposit bottles. You know? Bugger all this, you know, curbside recycling is wonderful and all that, but what if you just paid for the bottles and you went and bought a case of soda, you went and bought a case of beer, and then when you were done, you brought the bottles back to the bottle shop when you got your next case? And what's really funny, after you pay the deposits, the beer and the soda's cheaper. Hey, imagine that. And you think about all the energy that's not wasted having transport it, recycle it. No. It goes back to the plant. They get cleaned. They get stripped. They get relabeled. And they get reused. Looks like we're out of time. So anyway, folks, thanks for being with us today. Before we run out of time, thanks to Bob for producing today, running with things as I kind of threw things around a little bit today. Thanks to our bloggers and our mods for everything that they do. Thanks to Scott Barry at B1 Louder Productions. Thank you to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society. Go over there and drop him a dime. You got to do the right thing because he's the hardest working man in progressive liberal radio. And
this is the Quality News Network. Top White House aide Karl Rove announced he will resign within 2 weeks. President Bush has scheduled a press conference for later today. In Afghanistan, the Taliban has freed 2 ailing female hostages. South Korean and Taliban negotiators continue today. Both sides say they hope talks will lead to the release of the remaining 19 volunteers kidnapped nearly a month ago. Iraq's leading Sunni politician is urging Arab nations to intervene in what he calls a genocide campaign by Iran-sponsored Shia. He claims that not only have the Shia taken over Baghdad, they're threatening other Arab countries in the region. 5 U.S. soldiers were killed south of Baghdad Saturday in a gun battle with Shia militia. 4 other U.S. troops were wounded. The Bush administration's war advisor told reporters it may be time to consider reinstituting the military draft. Army Lieutenant General Douglas Lute said wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have stretched the old volunteer army thin. The draft was abolished in 1973. In Minneapolis, officials say they've selected a preliminary design to replace the bridge that collapsed into the Mississippi River earlier this month. The body of another victim was found in the wreckage Sunday. Former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson has dropped out of the Republican presidential primary. The Bush administration's former Secretary of Health and Human Services finished sixth in the Iowa straw poll. In Louisiana, the only people accused of causing deaths during Hurricane Katrina go on trial today. The owners of a nursing home in which 35 elderly residents died are charged with negligent homicide. The couple allegedly refused to evacuate their patients when ordered to do so. In Miami, closing arguments began today in the terrorism trial of Jose Padilla and